And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's Kevin Wooster joins us now with thoughts on getting the story straight and why that's as important today as ever. You can find his blog at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Wasn't
you
that nice?
Can plan on me. Wait, hello?
Hello.
Are we on? I'm sorry. I was so inspired by Rory. I just had to break in the song.
It just makes me so happy. I can't contain the joy. I hope that's not a problem for anyone.
That song, and both of them were wonderful, but that first one, oh my gosh, yeah. I just wanted to dance and sing and be happy.
Yeah. Good.
He's wonderful.
Yeah. He is an incredible musician. Let's talk a little bit about your blog this week, because it goes back to sort of the foundations of journalism and fact-checking and things that, you know, you almost shouldn't have to remind people, but yet we do.
Yeah, I sometimes still at 68 with 40 years or so of news experience have to remind myself that. Not too long ago, I made an assumption on a blog piece and had to go back in and correct it, and, you know, just because I'm semi-retired. I'm not under a great deal of pressure, but I thought, oh, yeah, I know what that is, but I didn't check it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of the point of this, and I don't mean to pick on Christy Noem or her staff by any means, because I have 40 years of experience at making the kind of assumptions that they apparently made, and those are dangerous assumptions, you know.
All right, let's pick this apart a little bit, because we have some audio from the state budget address this year. And this is a part of the conversation where Governor Noem is talking about broadband access in the state, the importance of it. And she's recommending another $5 million investment in connectivity. And here's the story that she uses to sort of set this conversation up. Take a listen.
Additionally, by now you all know how committed I am to my vision for high-speed internet across the state of South Dakota. We absolutely need faster, more reliable connections so that everyone in our state can participate in the next generation of South Dakota's economy. So we've made improvements in this area, but there's still more work that needs to be done. In Millett, for example, students without access to high-speed internet at their homes, they actually have their parents drive them to school late at night so that they can use the school's internet connection to do their homework. Many nights, the school has a line of cars out in front of it. And sadly, this isn't unique to Millett. Half of our counties have areas where 1 in 4 people have no access to high-speed internet.
All right, a pretty powerful story about what parents and students have to do to find a working connection in Millett. The problem is, Kevin, maybe it's not entirely true.
According to Ryan Bruns, the superintendent up there, and he was kind of surprised to hear that from some of his fellow administrators when they had a meeting after the governor's budget message, and they were teasing about the town not having internet service, and you know what they were talking about, and did what he should have done when he was told by other people what Governor Noem had said. He called the governor's office to check and confirmed that yes, that was a story that she'd heard from someone that during her travels, I assume up in that area. And turned out not to be true. He said, we have service in town. We also have running water, which were his words. And he wrote a column that was in the Rapid City Journal, and I assume probably in other papers as well.
Hmm. And I think this illustrates, because, you know, she's talking about $5 million, you know, more dollars being, you know, recommending to sort of help that connectivity. I think everybody in South Dakota who's done any kind of traveling throughout the state has, you know, an awareness that, you know, internet connection could be better. We know how important it is. And she's doing something that a lot of, you know, journalists and politicians and, CEOs do. Bring it home. Tell a story.
Yeah.
Tell a story. Absolutely. Of individual people's life. It's a great visual of cars lined up to get this service. And clearly somebody expressed it to her. What should the staffers have really done to kind of, flesh that story out before putting it in the state budget address for illustrative purposes?
Of course, check it out. You know, I would love to hear that story. And that's what we all try to write data and numbers and facts through people and through real life. And I'm sure there's some basis for that. There was probably something that somebody saw and somebody heard that had a basis in reality, and then they extrapolated from there. And You know, it got magnified. Somebody else heard it, and somebody told it to the governor, and it was appeared to be a credible source from a local, and so then things like that happen. And, you know, I've communicated with the governor's office, and someone there just said, yeah, we just blew it. You know, that happens. And, of course, I've blown it, too. So, and I think the problem is, and I talk a little bit in the column about that, that I think we're in a world where there's more danger for that to happen because there's so much information going around, and some of it is, so much of it is not accurate. Mm-hmm. And I think we live in a world, and I listed social media and some AM radio and some cable news where, and our president, frankly, who shows a disregard for the facts and the truth on a fairly regular basis, in my opinion, and I think most people would agree with that. I think that's all part of the danger zone that we're into with maintaining a commitment to fact and truth and telling the real story and telling it well.
And it does, how does it chip away at credibility, though? I mean, I think, you know, saying, yep, we messed up, you know, we can do better. But, you know, repeated sort of things add up, and people start wondering, you know, as a journalist, how has that sort of been something that you don't just shake it off and say, oh, well, I messed up, I'll do better next time. I mean, you take it pretty seriously in the world of journalism, at least.
Yeah, I mean, for most of my journalism life, when I would make an error, I would feel like nothing. I would feel horrible, and especially if it was an important error. And I always say that the worst thing, I hate writing corrections, but worse than that is making errors. And you have to try and correct it as well as you can and as quickly as you can, and you just double down on checking things out and double checking things. And I realize there's a lot of facts and a lot of things in that speech, which was over 30 minutes and, you know, had a lot of things to check out, and they're busy and everybody's busy. But I think you have this alarm bell that goes off when somebody tells you a great story. Wow, that's great. We should use that. But we absolutely have to make sure it's true. And that doesn't mean you don't trust the person. People just get things wrong. People misinterpret. And you got to be really careful about that stuff. Truth matters. Facts are really important.
Yeah. Now, Superintendent Bruns, you know, wrote a column for the Rapid City Journal. It's not the only thing he talked about in his column, but he did want to set the record straight about, you know, they do have high-speed internet in Mallette, also running water. But there's real consequences for a town, you know, small towns struggle. And if there's consequences for being portrayed as, you know, backwards.
Yeah, I think just from the fact that you believe in fact and believe in truth is important on its own. And then you always worry about the impacts of that on people. And I've made some mistakes, and especially now we live in a world where you can kind of erase those to a certain extent if you make them online, because you can go in and fix them, other than having a newspaper story with an error in it hanging on somebody's refrigerator for the next 30 years, you know.
Right.
You can't go out and find every one of those and ink it out and write the right thing in. And you don't want to hurt people. And I think when people talk about fake news in the media and those kinds of things, they don't understand, don't realize how important those of us who are professional journalists, professional reporters, who care about the integrity of the story, and more than we care about our own feelings about the issue, or we should be doing something else. It's the integrity of the story that matters. We want the story to be good, and we don't want to hurt anyone. We don't want to hurt a community. We don't want to hurt people by making factual errors, ever.
And sometimes that can be really difficult when people tell you their personal stories. I know I've been, when you hear stories of a divorce or a sexual assault or a, you know, some sort of, you know, deeply wounding trauma, veteran stories, all the different stories that we sit and try to honor, you still have a responsibility to do as much checking as you can to ensure that the story is authentic and as true as you can figure out as the interviewer. Not always easy to do.
Because I'm accused of being skeptical by some of my friends who are non-journalists, because somebody will tell me something or they'll relay something, and I'll say, well, maybe that's true. Well, what do you think, and they're lying? No, I just don't know. I don't know if it's somebody that I know well, if I've worked with many times, if they've always been factual and I can trust. I'm going to almost always assume that what they're telling me is true. But, you know, it goes back to that old cliched journalism, you know, warning, if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. And that that's a fun thing, but it's not far from being true. I mean, to always check it out. People don't mean to tell things that aren't true, but they often get things wrong. And sometimes in news stories where people have a reason to shade things one way or the other, and that can be a very personal story, very compelling story, but there's a reason there. They may not even know they're doing it, that they may not tell it exactly the way it happened.
Even happens to the governor and her staff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think they're taking the right attitude. They seem to be on this, that we messed up. We're going to double our efforts to make sure we don't do it again.
SDPB's Kevin.
They probably will, but we all do.
SDPB's Kevin Wooster. You can find his work online at sdpb.org/Wooster. And he joins us here on Thursdays as well. You can find all our conversations with Kevin on our website at listen.sdpb.org. Always a delight. Thanks, Kevin.
Christmas Eve will find you. Wait, I gotta go.